I made mention Sunday night, we've been doing our discipleship class now for 13 weeks. We got one more week to go before we actually complete the whole series. And I asked if there's one in our group that would be willing to give their testimony about that. And by the way, I have to say this, I'm so grateful for the men and now the women who have seen the importance of this. And they started their class Monday night, and we finished before they did. But we know why that took place. But anyway, looking forward to the great things coming there. But I believe I have two tonight that are doing that. Am I right? I'm looking at you, Jeff. Are you okay? Doug's going to start us off. And what's unique about this, you got a new saved individual that's going through this, and you got one who's been saved. How long have you been saved, Jeff?
1982.
Don't throw the math at me like that. But anyway, we're going to start off with Doug. I'm just going to give a little testimony. Do you just want to do it right there? Oh, I want everybody to hear, so microphone might be better. You got to stand up. Hold up. YouTube won't hear you, so you got to come up here. That'd be awkward.
First off, I just want to say thank you to everybody. Since the first time I've come here, everybody's been very friendly, welcoming. So I truly want to say thank you for that. I was in a much different place when I first came here, but I truly believe that the discipleship class is definitely important for a new believer. Coming in, it's very easy to maybe want to go back to your old ways, old things. And as you're coming through Christ and being a new creature, it's very easy to have to depart from a lot of things and people that you were used to. So it was a lot on my own. I felt obviously Jesus was there with me, but I'm thankful that Chad mentioned the class. We did the class. I've formed a really good bond with him and Matt to start with. Jeff, who had come along in. It just really, I believe it's something that really keeps you in wanting to seek the Lord and seek that knowledge. And it's not just about coming to sit in church, but the fellowship we have, the bond we're growing, and just wanting to get in the Bible, wanting to know God's word and just make a better path and a way for yourself, which is truly all I want out of this. And I praise God for everything he's gotten me through. Many may or may not know this. I'm 4+ months sober, so praise God. I mean, he's just kept me going with a lot of things, and I feel like I'm heading the right direction, and I only want to do things to glorify God. And I really appreciate the growth in the class and everybody being willing to come out and participate. It's been a very growing experience for me, and I can't be thankful enough for everyone here. So
I did the math. Well, actually, Q helped me do the math. It's been 40 years. But like some of you have heard my testimony, many of those 40 years I've wasted. And for me, the discipleship class, many people think of it as a time for a new believer to learn more about the scriptures or to learn the basics of scriptures, which it does teach you that. But I also believe for those that have been saved for a long time, we need constant reminders. And that's what this class is doing for me. You know, many things aren't unfamiliar that we're going through. But like I said, I wasted a lot of my Christian life. You know, I didn't give it to the Lord like I should. I was actually talking to Rich about this today. You know, my life is very different today than it was even 10 years ago. And a lot of that is because I gave my life to Christ. And I'm allowing him to do things through me that I never thought I would be doing. And he's given us courage to do those things. And when you see people like Doug, you got Matt back there, you know, and Gary now in class, and my son, which is a huge blessing. To share those moments with your kids, your friends, but it's creating bonds that we, brotherhoods for life. And that's one of my favorite things about the class is this, is creating those friendships. And then we have, like the ladies testified to some of us after Monday night. It's just being able to open up spiritually one with another and share things from somebody else's perspective as well. You know, every guy has an opportunity to speak and have input, and that's what I appreciate how Chad's doing that, because it's helping each of us learn. Maybe some of the comment that some other guy made more sense to you than what was actually written down. You know, and so those things are helping grow me as well. And so that's what I love about it. So I guess why I'm up here tonight is for this reason. It's okay to get involved even if you've been a Christian for many years. Because I don't care how many times you go over scripture, there's always something new to learn. And that's true in my life, and I want to continue to learn. And continue to grow. And that's what I see in the gentlemen that we're participating in this with right now. And even to hear some of the ladies' testimonies after Monday night, it's incredible. Just the few that I've heard and what transpired Monday night in the ladies' group. And what a big blessing that was. And so even you young ladies, young men, get involved. It'll be okay. I know our teen group that we're going to be starting up this class as well. And so I hope you all got your notebooks. But we do take a lot of notes, especially the way Chad is doing it. He's not allowing us to have the book. But so we're actually writing down a lot of what he's saying. It's helping me be more focused. And then it gives us a lot of scripture to go back and do our homework with, which I know many of us are doing that as well. So anyhow, amen.
See, Jeff figured it out. The more they talk, the less I talk. He figured that out. Well, thank you. I just wanted you guys to hear, because you've been hearing a lot about it from me for the last few weeks. I wanted you to hear from a few of the men that are attending the class how God's working in their life. Well, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 18 this evening. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to be dealing with friendship tonight, some things that we need to look forward for as we maybe seek to be finding new friends in our lives. I know that that comes up quite often, but I've been thinking the last few days about the importance of friendship and what people mean to me in my life, and begin to look at the life of David and Jonathan here and their friendship and the bond that they had. And I believe that's the reason why this has really come upon me, is just seeing what has taken place on Monday night, as it's been described by these two gentlemen, is just a friendship that has just taken place. And one, it's taken place because of the Word of God, and I'm grateful for that. And so tonight we're going to dive into the life of David and Jonathan real quick, and we're going to be reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 5. And you notice here, it's the love covenant of Jonathan and David. It says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, as we go through this evening and we begin to examine the friendship that David and Jonathan had, Lord, first of all, I believe it was a relationship that was given by you. God, I pray that for the ones in here tonight that don't have the right friendships with people, God, I pray that your scripture will be made clear this evening. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. The friendship of David and Jonathan was brought about by some unusual circumstances. I'm going to give you just a brief history of the life of David, because that's what I like to do. David was just a shepherd boy minding his own business. He was put into a situation because of grown men being scared to go against a giant man. That's where we're kind of fast-forwarding this. There wasn't a man who would stand up to this beast of a man. That's what Goliath was. He was a beast of a man. Tall man, big in size. But there was a young lad who had the experience that these other gentlemen who were already in war, they lacked. He had something else that they lacked, and that was one thing that sticks out in my mind, and I think it might stick out in yours as well, and that was courage. You see the courage of David being displayed. David knew the importance of being in a place of being a protector. Well, how was that? For this reason, because he was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd boy. Fighting off the attackers, mainly animals, that would seek to come in and take his sheep from him. So he had that idea of what it meant to be a protector. Already being victorious, David wasn't afraid of going up against a man twice, maybe three times his size. He wasn't afraid of those things. Something we usually forget about is this, about Goliath, and that is that he had four other brothers. Now think about the size of Goliath. Now he's got four other brothers that were probably about the same size as he was. Just for an example, there's four of us boys in our family, and all of us are generally the same size. Jeff's the tallest, I'm next in line, then Matt and Wayne was the shortest out of all of us. And nowadays, I'm a little bit taller when I lay down. No need to laugh there. But Goliath had other brothers, and they were probably just as big and intimidating as he was. So David, he steps up to the challenge. And because of God being on the side of David, he was victorious once again. The boy, because of this, as he went up against the Goliath, and as he came tumbling down of the rock that went in between his eyes, and then he chopped off the head of Goliath, the boy David became an instant hero in his community where he was at. And because he was an instant hero, he rose immediately to fame. We didn't read this, but as you go further down in this chapter, they begin to sing a song about him. Saul slaying his thousands and David slaying his 10,000s. That's how quickly he rose to fame. That's how quickly he became a hero to these folks. The person that recognized him the most had him summoned to his house. The one and only King Saul. They had an unusual friendship, or we can say a relationship. But the friendship that was going to mean more to him than anything was going to be with Saul's son, Jonathan. This friendship was going to be tested. Most friendships are tested. There's jealousy that's involved in friendships, things of that nature. Saul would soon become David's enemy as well. And because of this, this would put Jonathan right in the middle of every conflict that they had. And their appreciation, even though Jonathan had a dad who would quickly go after David, they still had a friendship and appreciation that would continue to grow. Unfortunately, sometimes when a conflict gets involved in friendships, people usually go their separate ways. But you see, David and Jonathan, because their souls were knit together, there was no separation. And they weren't going to allow some quarrel come between them because of what Saul had in mind for David later on. So they would continue to grow in appreciation and love for one another. There are several qualities, or we can say characteristics, that we should be looking for in friends. For choosing the wrong friend could cause many heartaches in life. And I know a lot of us, especially the ones in here tonight that are older and have experience with those things, we can begin to reflect back on the friendships that we've had with people and how they led us down the wrong path. And that happens quite often. So choosing the wrong friend will cause heartaches. After all, here's what needs to be done in our lives. We have a testimony to protect, which is why it's so important to choose the correct friends. It's usually true you end up acting like the people that you hang around. I've heard this on many different occasions as I sat in here going through school and we meet in devotions. And sometimes, no offense, Pastor, but sometimes it would sound like a broken record. You're going to end up acting like who you hang around with. And we heard that many, many, many times. And I come to realize why he said those things so often. Because he was trying to protect our testimonies as well, and he was trying to protect us not going down the wrong path of choosing the wrong friends. And so we have to protect ourselves when it comes to these things, because you're going to end up acting like the ones that you hang around. And you don't want to give the people the wrong impression about you. The first thing that we'd like to see tonight is this, is the love that these two friends had for each other. They had a tremendous love for one another. Their friendship wasn't built, listen to this, this is important. Their friendship was not built around taking from each other. Their friendship was built about giving to each other. So often we have the interpretation of what a friendship's all about. Well, it's about what I can get from him. And we end up becoming takers instead of givers. So it was about giving to each other, and that's what it was built around. It's not about just going out and begin to purchase things, but giving of what they had in their own possession that was valuable to them. Look in verse number 4. It says, as we're talking about the friendship of David and Jonathan, Jonathan, in verse number 4, it says, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him. Remember, Jonathan is the son of a king. He is probably wearing royal apparel. And because of his knitting of the soul together, Jonathan wanted to give David his best. And his best is what he had on. And so he strips himself of the robe that was upon him, and then he does what? He gives it to David. And then his garments, and they give specifics here, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. It was built around loving each other. The greatest thing that anyone could give in a friendship is love. With that being said, I know we're talking about friendship tonight, but this is so true in a marriage. In order for any friendship or for any marriage to be successful, when someone is showing or giving you love, here's what needs to be done with that. It needs to be received. It needs to be received. It's not going to do me any good, who I consider my best friend, my wife, to constantly give her love every day and showing her all these things that I appreciate her for, but it's not going to do any good if she's not going to receive it. So I would encourage you, as your spouse or your friends, as they're trying to show or they're trying to demonstrate love, receive those things from them. David, when being distributed the very garment of Jonathan, it needed to be received. Because if David would have rejected the garment that Jonathan was trying to give him, that probably could have hurt their relationship. What, my best isn't good for you? What I have and what I'm trying to give you, you don't like it? You're going to reject it? And when those things happen, a friendship could be dissolved. So David didn't reject it, David received it. So what type of characteristics or qualities should we be looking for in friends? I have about 7 things that I have written down. I could have had a few more, but I wanted to stop. The first one is a shared hope in the gospel. When seeking to have friends, you need to have one that's going to have the same hope in the gospel that you have. And right along that line, it's important to have a friend who's going to have the same beliefs that you have as well. It's very important as you pick a friend of the same hope of the gospel and the same beliefs, it's also important to find somebody that shares the same doctrine. Because we know there's so many false doctrines that are out there. And to get caught up in a friendship of somebody of another faith, well, some things can happen out of that. Little by little, we might make a little compromise here and there. And before we know it, we might walk away from our belief system. We might walk away from our sound doctrine that we had. And then all of a sudden, we're caught up in a false doctrine. So having a friend of a different faith could cause you to follow the wrong doctrine. The second thing that we need to seek for a quality or a characteristic in a friend is this. We need to have realistic expectations of each other. Amen. Because this is very important, for some people set high expectations of their friends. I cannot live up to your expectations that you have for me. I'm going to be flat out honest with you. I will fail you every single time. And so we set high expectations. We set high standards for them. And this usually doesn't end well, for most don't live up to someone else's expectations. So we need to have realistic expectations for each other. The third one, I probably should have wrote this down for the first one because I believe this is one of the most important ones. The third one is seeking a friend who forgives. Forgiveness. It's true, most friendships end up in some intense moments. So grudges are held. Those aren't helpful, because grudges usually end up turning to someone having a bitter attitude or a negative attitude towards somebody. And then when you have a negative attitude or you're not willing to forgive, here's what takes place in a friendship. You begin to murmur or gossip about one another. And then before you know it, the friendship's dissolved. Why? Because no one's willing to forgive each other. By the way, I've come to a point in time in my life, and I'm dead serious. It doesn't matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong about the situation. It's better for me just to forgive. It's not for me to put a hash mark up on the wall and say, yep, I'm right about this, and I'm not going to seek forgiveness. No, my friends, I value my friends. I value my relationships. So I can care less if I'm right or wrong. I'm going to seek forgiveness. That's what needs to be done. It's helpful to have a friend who is willing to forgive. The fourth one is a person who is committed to their family. Well, why do you say that? Because I don't want to have a friend who's committed to me. I want to have a friend who's committed to their family. Does that make sense? Family should come first before a friendship. If a person isn't committed to the family that God has given them, more than likely your friendship won't last long. Married or unmarried, your family comes first. Amen? So there needs to be a commitment to their family. And you should be able to see these qualities in individuals. You should be able to see if their family is important to them upon the first time that you meet them, as they begin to talk about their brothers and sisters, their moms and dads, and even their cats and dogs. The fifth thing that I see here tonight is we need to take in consideration is this. Look for a friend who is trustworthy. Look for a friend who is trustworthy. You don't want a friend that will tell you some personal things, and then all of a sudden, you take those personal things, or they take those personal things, and they begin to distribute it around the people that you know. Begin to cause you embarrassment, shame, and so forth. It's nice to have people that you can go to and you can confide in. And you know, as you open your mouth and you begin to vent, and begin to explain some things. It's nice to know that you have people that you can do that with. But I tell you what, it's not nice when you think you have somebody like that and they begin to go tell everything that you have ever said to them. And they begin to start rumors and begin to gossip. And then it can ruin other friendships as well. Pick a friend who is trustworthy. You don't want someone who's going to run off their mouth and begin to tell all your personal affairs to the world. The sixth quality that needs to be in a friend is one who is generous. Amen. One who is generous. We just talked about it here a little while ago, and that was Jonathan. Jonathan showed his generosity towards David by giving his very best to him. And being generous is not expecting something in return. So often we have the misconstrued idea, okay, I gave you something, now what are you going to give me? I don't see David giving anything back to Jonathan here but his love and friendship towards him. You don't read him taking off his garments and putting it on Jonathan. You don't read about him taking his sword and giving it to Jonathan. You see the generosity that Jonathan had towards him, not expecting anything in return. By the way, let me say this. Don't keep tabs on your friends. Don't keep tabs on your friends. For instance, I bought lunch last time. Now you can pick this one up. I thought we were talking about being generous. Where's the generosity in that? The seventh and final one that I want to deal with tonight is this. And I can really go on with these things. But this is an important one, which is why I left it for the last one. Choose a friend who has a heart for service. Choose a friend who has a heart for service. A Christian friend is not a selfish person. They don't use their friends to meet their needs. Here's what they do. They serve humbly, sacrificially, to those whom Christ has called them to love. Choose a friend who has a heart for service. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 13. We'll close with this. John chapter 13, verses number 13 through 17. Again, this is Jesus speaking. It says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. A heart of service. Jesus had a heart of service. That's what type of friends that we need to have. This shows a great picture of Jesus serving others. And this is the example that we need to be in our lives as well. So let me go over this list with you real quick, in case you missed some of these things, then we'll close. One, having a shared hope in the gospel. Have a real expectation of each other. Three, forgiveness. Four, one who is committed to their family. Five, one who is trustworthy. Six, one who is generous. And seven, one who has a heart for service. Let's close and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for allowing us again to be here tonight. And Lord, I pray, I know that we have so many people come in and out of our lives. Lord, some will be friends, some will just be acquaintances. But God, help us to reflect on this list as people come in our lives. Lord, I especially pray for these young people who are still growing up and going to be influenced by people that come in and out of their lives. And God, I pray that they would reflect upon this list. And I pray, Lord, that they would seek you every single day when it comes to having the right friends in their life. God, I pray that you watch over us as we leave from here tonight. We thank you for what has been said and done. We ask in your name. Amen.